Broadcasting live from the Business Radio X studios in Pensacola, Florida, it's time for Pensacola Business Radio. Now, here are your Business Radio X hosts.
Okay, good afternoon, Pensacola Business Radio, broadcasting live from DeVille Square. I have a studio full of life right now.
Hello.
That's it. I have Mark Robertson from Pensacola Bay Brewery. Say hello.
Good afternoon, Keith.
Yeah, I have Anthony Ingram. I know him as Tony Tejas.
That's right, Mr. Tony Tejas.
Yeah, from Tejas Salsa.
That's right. How are we doing, everybody?
And I have Laura Sprague, Life in Purple, Lip Talk Nation.
That's right. Hello, everyone.
Yeah, you are so alive. I'm so glad you're here.
Me too.
So man, you guys all three of y'all have some really cool companies here in this town. And I know, Tony, you're out of Mobile, but I've seen you more here in Pensacola than I've ever seen you in my time spent in Mobile.
Pensacola is my second home. I'm here 3-4 times a week.
So. Yeah. Slinging salsa
That's
all day
right.
long.
Hey, you got to put a party in Pensacola's mouth. And they love it.
That's it. And then, Mark, you got Pensacola Bay Brewery. So I'm curious, man, because I know for the longest time it was sort of tucked away and I never even knew it was here, but you guys have been here a while.
We've been here almost 5 years.
Yeah.
Our fifth anniversary party, the 15th of November.
And how many brews are you, how many beers are you guys brewing?
We have 17 branded.
Wow.
And right now we currently have 12 on tap at the brewery. And we got a special for the anniversary coming up. We're keeping that a secret.
Yeah. All right. Cool.
Special beer.
So I can come down to the brewery and just hang out and drink, right?
Yes, sir. We have a tap room in the front where we ambassador our beers to the public. And we have
ambassador.
outdoor seating right on Zaragoza Street, looking at the old Christ Church. It's really pretty view down there. It's a cool place.
Cool. So you said your anniversary is 5 years.
Yep.
Are you guys going to... It's a brew house. You got to have a party, right?
We're going to have a customer appreciation party. We're going to have food. I got a couple chef friends that are coming to cook. Dan Dunn from the Hilton at the Beach and Irv Miller from Jackson's. And I've got some live music. Brooks Hubbard, Betsy Badwater, a few other people that have somewhat committed but aren't really committed yet. So I'm not going to give their names. Excuse me. And then
those musicians, they're always last minute.
Right.
Yeah. If they get a paying gig, they're going to go to that.
Yeah.
They're all playing pro bono for the party. So
they're playing for beer, man.
They
positioned it the wrong way. You got to tell them you're playing for beer.
Yeah. And we're going to have a kids area so the kids can do some crafts while their parents are enjoying their.
Enjoying your craft?
Yeah. Pretty much.
So. You said how many did you say were branded? 17?
We've got 17 branded, I believe.
But you got 12 on tap.
12 on tap.
So what's on tap right now?
Right now, our flagship beer, Riptide Amber, is on tap, along with our Sawgrass Wheat, our Little Napoleon IPA.
I've had that. I'm trying to count off how many I've had.
Lighthouse Porter.
I don't think I've had that one.
Our Treasure Grove Pale Ale, which is a new one on the market.
Yeah, see, I'm not a big pale ale guy. I get that bitter beer face every time I drink it.
It's not so bitter.
But I'll tell you what, the pale ale. The pale ale fans I have met are diehard pale ale. Like, that's what they drink.
Yeah. And then our seasonal beer right now is our vanilla pumpkin porter, which is a pretty nice malty beer with some vanilla and nutmeg notes. And then we have our big beers like our Napoleon Complex Imperial IPA and our Queen Anne's Revenge, which is an Imperial Stout. I forgot to mention our Blackbeard Stout as well. And then we also have... a seasonal Belgian beer we made that's hanging on. It's a Belgian Abbey triple type beer. It's pretty big. It's our strongest alcohol one. So
yeah,
that's what I'm talking about.
We cover all the bases pretty much.
I think so. And the names are really creative too. So I think that's cool.
We try to use a lot of historic, Pensacola or state references. And I forgot to mention our DeSoto Berliner Weiss with raspberries in it. That's also on tap. So,
oh yeah.
Do you have Not Your Father's root beer?
No, I do not.
Just curious.
An alcoholic root beer? We've looked at having one of those possibly, but we're afraid too many people are going to ask for it for their kids. And
oh, okay.
Get weird real fast.
It's not every day you get carded for root beer.
Yeah.
So, you know that, though? I didn't realize probably until about a year ago how big of a thing that is, the alcoholic root beer.
Yeah, that's a recent trend, and now ginger beers are kind of making a return as well. Mm-hmm. So I think you're going to see a lot more... adult beverages that aren't necessarily beer or wine coolers or wine or alcohol products. It's just, I think a lot of people are out there just trying to push the envelope, trying to find a niche.
Yeah. Right. And do just a new flavor, a new topic or something.
Totally different, yeah.
Yeah, well, Tony says all those beers go with his salsa.
Exactly.
So he really
I call it a
care
batch made in heaven is what I call it. But us real beer drinkers, we don't like sweet beer. We like beer with
yeah,
some
I tend to stay
flavor.
Away from the fruit a little bit.
And high gravity is always good. You can't go wrong because I've already made plans to come hang out at the brewery after this interview is over with for sure.
Well, awesome to have you down there.
And we're definitely going to fix you guys up with some salsa because you got to put a party in the mouth for a party. It's the anniversary.
Woo-hoo.
The world's best salsa's got to be in the building.
I hear you.
And we do work pro bono.
Yeah. Tony says, I do work for beer. So,
nice.
Well, Mark.
Would it be pro biro?
How did you? Yeah, there you go. Pro biro. How does someone ever find out, you know, I'm really good at brewing beer, so I'm going to open a brewery?
Well, I started brewing beer in the mid 80s when I came back from Europe and there wasn't anything really good on the shelves. And I didn't really know much about home brewing or anything. And I went on vacation to Milwaukee with my wife's folks live up in that area. And, my brother-in-law told me there was a homebrew store and I go, for real? So I went around there and met the lady and had stuff shipped to my house in Mississippi and started brewing. And then over time it just,
you realize it tasted good?
Well, yeah, I got better and better at it. So when the opportunity availed itself, I kind of jumped in.
Yeah. So what is the for those that may not understand it, I'm going to walk me through the process of brewing beer.
Okay. What we do is we start with malted barley, which is the barley kernels from the barley plant that are kiln dried by a maltster, which is a totally different craft.
Right.
And, they provide that to us, so we crush it. And then we mash and we make something that looks kind of like oatmeal, but it has the grain husks in it and all from the barley. And we mash it at a specific temperature for a certain amount of time, and the starches of the seed husk, the grain pieces, for lack of better terms, there's all kind of scientific names for it, but the starches turn to sugars.
Sure.
It's a process known as saccharification, if you hadn't remembered that. Most people haven't.
No, I just beer.
So to make beer, we have to make sugar water, and that's really what brewers are. We're sugar water creators, and then the yeast makes the product for us. So we create the sugars in the mash, and once that's done, we have to get the sugar water off the mash, so we move it over to another vessel called a lautering vessel. And we push water kind of like you would do a French press, but we let gravity drop the water through the column of mash and we extract the sugars from it and move that into something known as a boil kettle and then bring it to a boil. And then during that boil process, depending on the style we're making, we'll add a certain amount of hops to counteract the malt sweetness,
right.
Kind of a sweet and sour effect. And then once that boil's done, we'll transfer it through a heat exchanger into a fermentation vessel, and we'll add the yeast, which is our number one employee. It goes to work.
Almost like free labor too. And you put it in and walk away.
It's a single cell organism with no brain. So
that's it.
But it responds to its environment. So we provided a specific environment, and each brewery has their own methods.
Sure.
Of providing that environment, and it just has to be ultra clean. And once it's in that environment, it goes to work. And we wait, and in about 14 days, we can be drinking the beer.
Wow.
Nice.
Yeah.
There you go.
So, and you can see all of this when we come down to the brewery, right? I mean, isn't most of that visible to the front?
You can view through the sliding doors the brewery, but when we're in there working, it's such a small environment. We can't invite people back there because of safety issues.
Yeah.
But we do have tours every Saturday at 3:30, and as long as there's not a festival going on.
Yeah, that was going to be my next question.
At that point, we can bring you back into the brewery and show you around when there's nothing going on. It's safe. Yeah.
So I'm curious, because you're saying it's such a controlled environment, and a lot of the breweries that I've ever seen or microbrew things that I've seen have usually been in either colder climates or higher altitudes. Does being down here with the humidity and the heat affect you guys in that? Because you get a pretty, it's almost a warehouse space, right? So, I mean, you guys are pretty open.
Pretty much we are. The brew house, brewery area is not air conditioned.
Right.
So it can be as hot as 95 in there and as cold as, you know, 20 if we open the doors. But our tanks are insulated, and we use a food grade glycol to chill them, so we can get our tank temperatures any temperature we want.
Wow.
And so we can't get the brewer's temperature at any temperature.
So brewers, that's what the cold beer's for, man.
In the summertime, we call it sweating out the toxins.
Yeah,
you will really get a sweat going back there, because a lot of our stuff is labor intensive.
Yeah. So, but you guys have overcome all that with just the technology these days. You got pinpoint accuracy and control in your tanks.
That's right.
We do.
And if a guy's getting a little bit too hot, he can just walk into the cooler and stand there.
So I've come from the culinary restaurant world. I've spent many a time in the walking cooler trying to chill out for a little while. So, well, Mark, I know you guys are huge in the community and stuff. So let's talk about some of the charities and things that you guys are involved in.
All right. We partner with, the Ark Gateway. Do a little bit of stuff with them. We actually use their facility over on Truman Street to build our mother cartons and our six-pack carriers for us for packaging, which is a good relationship. And then we do some fundraising for the Northwest Florida Wildlife Sanctuary, which we're going to have a big fundraiser during the art festival on Saturday and Sunday for them. They're going to be at the brewery with their birds, and we're going to be giving away grilled cheese sandwiches and tomato bisque for a donation. So if you want a grilled cheese sandwich and a tomato bisque, you can give us 50 cents or whatever your heart feels. You get to look at the birds, take pictures with them.
Yeah.
And every dime of that fundraiser goes to them, because all the ingredients and the time and all is donated. So
very cool.
Even the flatware and paperware that you're going to eat out of is being donated. So all the money goes straight to the charity.
Very cool. So, and man, I'll tell you, they've got some cool animals that they bring with them. I've seen them come out and do, they've got the hawks and the birds that'll come chase you down and all that kind of stuff.
If you ever get a chance to go down and visit their facility.
Yeah, that's it. Birds of prey. That's the word I was looking for.
If you ever get a chance to go down and visit their facility, it's right off of Navy Boulevard. And they have a couple pairs of bald eagles in there that can't be released into the world anymore because they're humanized. They have a flight academy where they actually teach the birds how to fly again that can be released back into society. So they've got a lot of things going on down there. They need all the help we can give them.
Yeah. Excellent. Very cool. Well, where do you see – so you guys have been here 5 years, and you guys celebrate your anniversary. Where's Pensacola Bay Brewery going next?
Well, over the horizon, we're looking at building a production facility. But that's going to take a little time and – effort to put everything together to get the money right. But, right now we're pretty much as big as we can be in the building we're in.
So. Yeah. So what is a production facility going to do for you guys as a business?
It would give us the ability to distribute farther and more. Right now I can't provide the quantity of product that say Publix or Winn-Dixie would like to have. So, that's our Achilles heel. So if we want to move on and move up, we have to build something bigger.
That's not a bad problem to have, Mark.
No.
That's not a bad problem to have at all. Well, cool, Mel. Well, you know, I think I'm with Tony, man. I think I know where we're going to have to go when we get done here. So
yeah, that's a wrap.
So, yeah, right. I'm sorry. We don't even need to talk to you guys. Let's go get some beer.
Can we do the rest of this at the brewery?
Y'all are more than welcome to come to the brewery.
Well, very cool, man. I want to, you know, obviously thanks for coming in and sharing your story with us and, you know, being able to be part of Pensacola and the community. And I just think it's cool that we've got a brewery here in town. As well as how much the food and all that stuff has really started to explode around here. You know, you're going to be somebody that helps make this a destination for things like that. So
that's the part that we're happy to be part of.
Yeah.
As we started, downtown was starting to come back.
They were sweeping strong. Out the tumbleweeds is what I keep saying.
It was starting to come back strong, you know, and being there right at the beginning of that. We're not at the beginning, but at the beginning of the big push has been kind of cool.
So, yeah. Awesome. We'll hang out for a little while with us, huh?
Sure.
Yeah,
sure.
Tony's got some salsa here. We're going to have to check it out.
We're going to crack open a good time here. That's what I call it whenever you open one up.
That's it.
Oh, yeah.
All right. So I got to say, because for both Laura and Tony, but fate brought, because I totally believe in this whole universe line and things, right? So the universe lined me up with Tony. I was doing some consulting for a place and that happened to do incubation kitchen and stuff like that. And I was walking down, we were at gallery night one night with my girlfriend and I, and they had one thing of salsa left.
And I was
one.
I was
one?
Saving it for the right person.
Yeah,
because it was some. We tried to give it away. I was like, no, that's not the right person.
Yeah, it's like
they're not cool enough.
They couldn't even give you enough money, huh?
No, they couldn't have bought that one. I needed to find someone who's not afraid of a good time.
That's
what my brand is about.
Okay. And here I was.
And they were like,
and
yeah,
there you were.
I was like, hey, are you afraid of a good time? You want to try the world's
and
best
Keith
salsa?
Says, no, I'm not.
Yeah, that's I want it. The world's best salsa. And so it was destined.
Yeah, that was it. Literally came walking around the corner and I saw the food in his hands. Like, ooh, what is that? You know, of course, with all the culinary stuff in my background. And so anyway, long story short, here we are. But Tony, man, tell him how you did this.
Well,
it really is the best salsa I think I've had ever.
And the only reason that it's in a package is because a buddy of mine 5 years ago, we were hanging out at a restaurant in Mobile that I worked at, because I've been in restaurants 20 years myself. And he was munching on it. And it was like, dude, this is the best sauce I ever had in my life. I was like, oh, thanks, man. That's cool. He's like, no, listen, I'm Mexican. This is the world's best salsa.
Wow.
And I was like, okay. Right? And the light went off. I was like, you know what? I've been striving my whole life to own my own restaurant. Mm-hmm. Why have a restaurant when I can sell a product internationally?
Yeah.
And the next day, literally, I started writing a business plan, and had a vision and saw that label in my mind and hand wrote it and, went into actual selling the salsa for a living, about a year and a half ago. And, it started off real slow, trying to find someone to make it for me because, I knew that I had to find someone to produce it to get to the level where I wanted to be.
Mm-hmm.
I couldn't get into the kitchen and make enough salsa for the world myself.
Yeah. Again, not a bad problem to have.
Once again, good problem.
You know what? You and Mark need to have salsa in the front, beer in the back, and we'll just find you a tortilla chip company. I'm sure there's a couple around.
Right? We grow together. I like it. I call it a match made in heaven whenever you put my salsa with beer. But that's what brought it to fruition, because 10 years ago, I was working on a restaurant concept. That's where it really, really began. And I had a chicken fajita salad on the menu. And I was like, I'm not using that junk in a jar. I'm gonna make my own salsa. And I grew up in the Southwest, out in Houston, and I lived in Phoenix for a year. And I said, man, I can do this. And I whipped it up, and people just love the salad. And even after the concept didn't come to fruition, people kept ordering the salad over and over again. And that's how I was lingering around for someone to try. And I spent 3 years doing market research. Because it's one thing to say you have the world's best salsa. It's another thing to actually be able to have a viable product that people want to buy.
You can put your money, your salsa in your mouth.
I really like how you said you whipped it up.
Oh, yeah.
You know,
yeah.
So just whipped it up.
The whip game is proper. It came just from all of my culinary background. It's a culmination of Tex-Mex. It's got a little Creole in it. Mm. It's got a little soul food to it. And people that don't like salsa like this. They're like, I don't even eat tomatoes, but I like this.
That's me. So I want to try.
Yeah. You don't do the tomato thing?
No. Ketchup.
Well, and you know, but you know what? The whipped up thing in the culinary world is seriously some of the best things I have ever made in my life were literally like, oh, let's just da 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 and throw this in and throw that. For those that can't see me, I'm waving my hand.
But, I'm waving back.
Yeah, but and then all of a sudden you're like, oh my gosh, this is all. What did I just do?
Yeah.
I should have read that. Oh wait, I just totally forgot what
That's
I did. So
hilarious.
It literally was always like a one time thing, but and Tony made it happen.
Well, you know, and what really brought this to fruition is the people that believed in me and in this product.
Yeah.
Mm.
I've got a profit share group with over 100 people in it that have put money and time and ideas into making this work. And I couldn't have done this by myself. We're talking, I've been in business a year.
Yeah.
We're in 3 different states and 40 retail locations.
Yeah.
And Pensacola, I call it my home away from home because when I was struggling to find places to sell my product, the Palo Fox Market let me come over and sell it at the farmer's market.
That's what I said. I've seen you more here in Pensacola than I've ever seen you anywhere else.
I love this place, man. I hate going home. I miss the Mobile, but when I'm here, I like hang out as long as I possibly can. I just got to make sure I can make it that hour drive to the house.
But they were real good to me, and people were loving it.
Yeah.
I mean, wow. We're just 60, 70 things of salsa on a Saturday. And eventually, I went into New York Knicks. It's the official salsa of New York Knicks. And I took a friend of mine from Pensacola in with me, who is extremely attractive. And sat down. Right. That was my ploy when I first thought. I was like,
I got you.
Come on, dude.
It's marketing. It's brand awareness, baby. Exactly. Brand awareness.
Beautiful woman salsa. Why wouldn't you want to buy this?
Opportunity.
There you go. And, Nick put it in his mouth and was like, man, this is good. And he went back for the second one. This is real good. He was like, you know what? This stuff is phenomenal. And I've never had anyone come sell me salsa.
Mm.
You got the deal.
Cool.
And that was my first restaurant to carry it on a consistent basis was New York Knicks
here
in Pensacola. And then Apple Market. Oh, David Apple over there. Mm-hmm.
David's actually coming, I think, next week. Him and Stefano found us online doing on the Facebook stuff. Does olive oil or whatever.
Ah,
so they're coming on next. So when David's here, I'm going to ask him. I'm going to ask him how his Tejas salsa is. Let's see if he remembers. You know what I mean? Because he's got so much stuff in that store.
He does. Well, it's kind of hard to forget me being 6'4", 270.
And yelling party in your mouth.
Yeah, right. Because when I do demos, it's not like Walmart where, you know, people are like,
welcome to Walmart.
Right, yeah. Would you like to try it? No. I'm like, hey. Come here, put a party in your mouth. This is the world's best salsa. It's going to change your life. And my new catchphrase is, come try the Gucci of salsa.
Yeah.
Ooh,
because you may not be able to drive a Porsche, but you can have premium salsa in your fridge.
You can have top of the line salsa.
So I'm on a mission to make the world a better place, one cup of salsa at a time.
There you go.
But that was my very first grocery store to carry the product here in Pensacola.
Nice.
I mean, so I'm all about it. I love the culture. I love how people are so open-minded and aren't afraid to have a good time.
It's a foodie revolution too, man. There are so many more people that are trying all kinds of cool stuff. I mean, everything from brewing different flavors of the beer to salsa to, and a lot of times, and I know this because Nick came on the Foodie Life show, and that's part of the other thing that I do is with that brand and the restaurant experience that I've been through is that everybody these days is like, oh, what's fresh? What's new? What's local? What hasn't come out of a box? What's what's here? You know what I mean? So
it kills me that people go to these cookie cutter restaurants.
Yeah.
Processed.
Yeah.
I don't want my meal to come out of a vacuum packed bag.
Oh, but why not?
Be zapped in the microwave and brought up to me.
Yeah.
I'd much rather have something that is someone's inspiration, someone's talent. It put on a plate.
Yeah.
And that's why I was real big on New York Knicks. And actually, almost every one of my retailers is a locally owned business, with a private owner.
That's impressive.
And that I'm serious about. I use local produce. I get, as much stuff as I can from farmers from here in Florida and Bama and Mississippi. And I sell it through as many, local vendors as I possibly can.
Yeah. Which, you know what a lot of people don't realize either is that between Florida, Alabama, and Mississippi, those farms feed half of the nation.
Yes.
They really do.
You know?
Yes.
You know, and when I was doing local research and searching greens, I had no idea how many farms are literally within 50
That's
miles
huge.
Of Pensacola.
Mm-hmm.
So.
And so that, you know, that helps the economy for everyone. And that's the big thing. We can be self-sustained. We can feed ourselves and we can grow our own economies because Mobile is going through the same thing, that is going over here with downtown Pensacola.
Yeah. We're doing a lot of research. Yeah.
My home that I live in, I bought because it was in a neighborhood that needed to be revitalized.
Right.
And, it was really important for me to give back in that sense. You can't change the climate and the attitude of a place if you're not there physically
to do it.
You
right.
can talk about it, but
Such
it's just another thing to be there.
Yeah.
And that's the same thing I'm doing with this product. It's revolutionary. I call it the salsa revolution because as I was looking for people to make it for me, I had so much trouble finding someone who would even do it because it's all fresh. they don't do that. They cook it all up. That's right. Why all salsa tastes
the same. Right. They got to add all this other stuff so it's shelf stable and all that nonsense. Exactly.
They're like, oh, we need it to last for 3 months. I was like, who wants salsa that's been around for 3 months?
Yeah.
You know, and I refuse to put any of those soy baits and all that junk. So people are like, we're not making your product. It's not going to sell. I was like, well, you have to sell it like it's produce.
Yeah.
Because that's all it is.
Right.
It's raw vegetables.
Sure.
Blend it all up and put in a cup. And I finally found someone in Mobile who wasn't afraid to make the product. And I'm not afraid to sell it the way it is.
Yeah.
And it's all about
your... Which is why I see you in Pensacola so much. Because you are literally delivering stuff twice a week, aren't you?
Two to three times a week, I'm in Pensacola stocking shelves.
Yeah.
Because we make it in small batches. We make it fresh. And we put it on the shelf fresh.
Yeah.
And then I only put so much out there to last for 7 to 10 days. Now, it's good for 3 weeks, but I put enough for 7 to 10 days, and then I come and let people taste it. And when people try it, they buy it. As a matter of fact, that's another one of my favorite catch lines is, no need to try it, just buy it and go to Apple Market and pick it up.
Yeah.
You know, because people have the misconception that Pace and Tostitos is what salsa is. That's not real salsa. You know, growing up in the Southwest, you open a jar of that, you know, just get a rope
get
for real.
Smacked.
Right. Like, what are you doing with that? No. This is the real deal, authentic Texas salsa. Because people are always like, dude, you're from Mobile. Why do you have Texas salsa?
Yeah.
This is Texas style salsa. This is what I grew up eating in the 80s. I fell in love with it.
Look at you dating yourself in the 80s. Like that was so long ago.
Let's be kind now.
I know. That's what I'm saying. Like that was so long ago. Mark was born in 90s, so he don't even know what the 80s is.
18.
But, and this is what salsa truly was supposed to be like. And that's what I wanted to introduce to the world. And it's people are really responding to it. People really appreciate the quality. And it's, from what I've seen, it is the first premium homemade salsa. And what's most impressive and why it's in places like Everman's here in Pensacola is that
because you don't have all that other junk in it.
You can pronounce the ingredients.
Yeah. And
it's not Greek on the label.
That's so true. You know, when somebody finally told me that, I was like, look at the ingredients. If there's two or three, or if there's one in there you can't pronounce, you might be okay. If there's more than one in there you can't pronounce, leave it on the shelf.
If it can sit on the shelf for 6 months, what is it doing to your body when you ingest it?
Mm-hmm.
So that's... What is so different is that this is the most nutritious salsa on the shelf.
Boom.
Right?
Yeah.
Protein.
You got it. I'm telling you, you got a spokesperson right here, man. She waiting.
She's the future of Tommy Tejas. Right? She's going to be on the next commercial. But you got protein, fiber, iron, vitamin A, 35% of your daily vitamin C in a serving. You know, that's phenomenal. It's just because there's so many fresh vegetables. I hear people that don't like salsa. They're like, oh, well, salsa is just a bunch of tomatoes.
Yeah.
I say, well, not my salsa.
Yeah.
That's
then you're not doing it right.
Right. Yeah, I don't know what you're eating, but you're not eating the world's best.
I'm looking at this jar, and there's a lot of chunks, and it looks very appealing.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And you know, that's what
we're going to eat that jar when we're done here, Mark. I promise you.
Is that it is a puree. It's not the chunky stuff. That's the other thing that's a big turnoff for a lot of folks. People don't want hunks of onions and hunks of cilantro. This is pureed down, and that's also what makes it a marinade.
Yeah.
You know, you can't be the world's best if all you are is a snack.
And you know, that's what I used to do with it. I'd take it and marinate with it, and then it would go on all the breakfast burritos. Mm-hmm. And, you named it. We were throwing that salsa on it. It was almost like ranch.
Pork.
It was like
pocket thing. Yeah. Cheese and barbecue pork, and then he just like drills with the Tony Taos all over the top.
It was
ridiculous. I took my son there for his birthday because it was so good. But you can put this on ribs, chicken, hamburgers, hot dogs. My favorite I've been doing all summer is adding a little olive oil to it, and you reduce it down and it turns into a glaze. So it's great for sauteing shrimp, squash, zucchini. I do chicken in it like that. I got a restaurant over Mobile, that does, Southwestern chicken mac and cheese.
Yeah.
And they cooked it, cook it in that.
I'm so glad I ate before this show.
You could use this on a salad too, a taco salad,
it
Mexican salad.
It was invented as a salad dressing. People just, they're like, what? Yeah, salad dressing. And put that in your Bloody Mary.
Ooh.
That we had that conversation once. Yes. I didn't even think about that. Yeah.
Oh, man. Yeah. I tried it one time. I was like, oh, this takes Bloody Mary. Cause I'm not a Bloody Mary drinker. I'm like vodka, tomato juice. I'm like, eh. And the two best Bloody Marys I ever had in my life was one made with my sauce in it and one made with Dreamland barbecue sauce, which blew my mind.
Yeah.
It was good, but it was phenomenal.
You know, you get to New Orleans, you can find 100 different ways to make a Bloody Mary.
Right.
That, and tomato juice may not be in any one of them.
Right.
Yeah, I mean, seriously. So,
but I've become a Bloody Mary drinker and a connoisseur, and the salsa is one for everybody. The original, I call it a people's champ. It's like bowl full of flavor with a little kick at the end.
Yeah.
And then we have the Caliente, which is Pensacola's favorite.
Yeah.
Like the whole reason I really started making the Caliente on a regular basis is Pensacola was like, you got it hotter. I need some spice.
Yeah.
And I was like, oh, this is wonderful. Cause this is the way I meant for it to be.
Right.
Yeah. My mom made me make the original. She was like, this is too hot, Tony. You can't sell this to everybody. I was like,
yes, you can.
This is Texas salsa.
Yes, you can.
This is, no.
It's got to burn.
Yeah, right. And
in the
she
right
was
way.
Like, she was yeah, like,
right, yeah. In the right way.
Not in, not out.
Yeah.
And so I backed some of the peppers out of it and took some of the heat out of it and came up with this original. And she was right. This is the people's champ. People love it. Mm. But the Caliente, oh.
Yeah. It's that's the one you put favorite. In the Bloody Mary.
Yes.
That's the one
it's got Bloody Mary seven with. Different chili peppers in it. Habaneros and serranos. And the reason why I call it Caliente instead of spicy or hot or picoso is because it literally heats up after you stop eating it.
Yeah.
Oh, it's the after.
It's the after. Uh-huh. When you're eating, it's like, oh man. Oh, ooh, ooh,
which
ooh.
Is deceiving too, because you get all this flavor and you're like, oh, this is great. And then you swallow and about 2 minutes later, you're like, wait a second.
That's where Mark comes into play.
Yeah. Yeah.
Caliente, you order more beer. It's like, oh, Pensacola root is on. And then I finally made a mild version for my mom because she just couldn't take the heat anymore. Back in the day, in the 80s, we ate spicy all the time. And she was like, you got to make one for mild people. I was like,
what?
You're just taking all the teeth out of my dog.
Everybody's a critic.
And so eventually I played with it for a few weeks and I had to come with a compromise because I don't believe in putting out any product since I've been, like, I've been in restaurants 20 years that doesn't have body, that doesn't have flavor, that doesn't dance on your palate. And it was hard to find something mild and still have that much flavor. But I did it and I took all the jalapenos out, all the red peppers, and I replaced it with basil and cumin.
Oh.
So it pairs well with your veggies and seafood. You put this on a grilled oyster, like a Rockefeller style, forget about it.
Yeah.
And I found that the folks that frequent health food stores, they love the mild. So it was all meant to be. And that's why my mom's package name is on the package right now, is because she was so influential in the whole process.
Yeah.
Cause I was living with her at the time when I first started this, and I was in the kitchen making salsa all the time before work. And she'd be like, are you making any money off this? I was like, no, I'm not. This is market research.
This is my passion.
Right. I have to make sure people want this.
Yeah.
It's not about making money. And that's what, you know, a lot of folks in
look,
business.
Mark did the same thing, man. He was brewing beer in the bathtub long before he ever got the brewery.
Not quite the bathtub.
You know.
Hey, I drink beer out of the bathtub as long as it's free.
Hey, you never know, man.
Oh, my.
But it's a whole lot that goes into those products you see on the shelf, especially when you start seeing the local stuff. And I'm huge on supporting local brewers from here all the way over to Mississippi because you get some passion.
Yeah.
You know, when you get the local products, you're getting the best of what someone has to offer instead of this cookie cutter. You know, I'm going to make this for as cheap as I can.
Yeah, as much as I can, as fast as I can.
As much as I can, as fast as I can. Throw it out on the shelf. I don't care how it affects your body. I don't care how it affects your palate. They're just doing it for the bottom line. and the local companies care way more about their community. They're more involved in the community usually. And how cool is it to actually get a chance to meet someone
yeah.
that makes something that you got in your fridge?
Yeah.
Right?
You know, that's way.
I think that's cool.
To know that, to know the person that created. Well, no, but that's serious. Yeah. I mean, you know the person. It's no different than knowing the chef or knowing who cooked your meal. I mean, it's the same concept.
I think that personal tie-in is very important.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
People know the people that manufacture their product. They're more inclined to buy it.
Oh, yeah. Because you're buying a little piece of them. You're buying a little piece of them, and it once again, it supports the local economy.
Yeah.
And I want to thank everyone in Pensacola for buying Tony's Hot Salsa, because I spent a lot of money when I'm over here.
I do believe in supporting the local economy.
I'll give him that. He did buy lunch.
So. Hey, that's one thing. I was on a mission because I got real offended. A lot of places, especially in Mobile, that I hung out in.
Yeah.
Constantly spent lots of money,
mm-hmm.
would not sell my product. And yeah. I was like, are you kidding me? You know me. You're like, ah, Tony. But
right.
I'm like, hey, yeah. here's my product. You should care. They're like, I don't think so.
Yeah.
And so I was like, you know what? I'm not shopping or buying anything from a place that doesn't sell my product.
People are just scared of the unknown.
I think you're absolutely right.
Mm-hmm. And
yeah. you are.
And that's another reason why I'm always over in Pensacola, because I got so much support. So I come bring my money over here. I don't care if I got to drive
around. Right?
Well, so thanks for coming.
We're throwing Mobile up on red alert, aren't you?
Hey, I'm straight up when I talk. I'm not afraid to say what is the truth, because mm-hmm. the truth will set you free.
Amen.
And when you invited me to come to the show, I was like, yes. You know, I may not be from Pensacola, but I have a true passion.
Mm-hmm.
I have a true passion for it, and I have a true respect for the community. And lots of people I know have moved over to Pecola.
Yeah,
so mm-hmm. it's the spot to be, and it's really cool to see how it's developing and how open minded everybody is. So.
I want to know what Mark's got on tap that goes with this. After hearing him talk about it, what's down there that's on tap that you think?
I'm pretty sure just about every one of our flavors would go well.
Yeah.
It's all your palate.
Sure.
So your palate's going to dictate what you think pairs well with it and doesn't pair well. Right.
I want to know what Mark pairs well with it. Mark, I'm putting a sauce. I'm putting Tejas sauce in front of you. What are you going to pour into a glass?
I would crack it open so Mark can taste it.
I would pair it with our Treasure Grove Pale Ale.
Yeah.
Because the Pale Ale's got a lot of hops. It's not super bitter. It's got some malt sweetness that should go along with any spiciness that the peppers and, you know, and the tanginess of the tomatoes.
Cracking the seal on a good time. I know. I hear it.
Yeah.
Right? Diving in.
That's it.
It is a very good looking salsa.
Yeah. Now, the fun part will be when everybody's crunching chips into the microphone. Right. So,
Turn away.
What's about to happen is he's about to have his very first ever mouth.
That's it. That's it.
That's what I call it the first time you try it, because it is.
Well, I will tell you one thing, that the fresh garden smell I'm getting right now,
I know,
from,
I can
from
smell
about
it
a foot away, is awesome.
Yeah.
So. Well, that's because it is fresh. People always try to like, oh my God, it's so fresh. I was like, that's because it is. Most of the time when you eat salsa, it is not fresh.
I'm telling you, man, it's good. Oh, yeah. I see the gears turning, man.
That is delicious.
Thank you. Thank you. Thank you.
And this isn't the hot one.
No, this is the original.
I want to taste the hot one. This is very good though.
I have to pull the hot one out of the car. I keep all the flavors on me.
That's fine, but that is very, very remarkable.
He's going to bring the hot one this afternoon when he comes to drink beer.
Yes, exactly. And we're.
You bring that down to the brewery with some chips. You might win some hearts and minds.
That's it, man. That's
it. I love hearts and minds.
That's it.
But,
well, Tony, let's tell everybody where they can find you and get some information, and then let's let them know where it is locally that they
party
can find.
So good.
Thank you.
And it's coming from somebody who doesn't like tomatoes.
Right?
There it is, folks.
So good.
There's two things
next
I tell people.
Next time I'm bringing the vodka.
Hello. I tell people all the time, and people think I'm just trying to sell salsa. I'm like, people, this is the only salsa in the world that goes well with coffee. They're like, whatever salsa guy.
No,
I was like,
man.
No. Everyone who's ever tried it while they were drinking coffee is like, oh my God, this is delicious.
Yep.
And the other thing it goes quite well with is a good time. If you're looking to have a good time, put a little Tony Tejas in your life. But it's available all over Pensacola. Of course,
we talk Apple Market, Everman's, those two for sure.
The Greer's Cash Shaver over on Barrancas. It's in the deli session. And guys, don't go looking for this on the shelf.
This
is in the
cold refrigerated.
This is in your produce section. This is in the deli section. Matter of fact, it's so fresh, apple market keeps it next to the orange juice.
Yeah.
I think that's a testament to it. And then of course, go see Nick. Yeah. You get your order of salsa. I always say get your, salsa fix at Nick's.
Yeah. That's it. And I had it on my nachos the other day when I was there. I got a big pile of nachos he's got.
It's so sick.
I said, the lady said, can I bring you anything else? I was like, can I have four salsas, please?
Four.
One sour cream and four salsas.
So, that is how you step up your meal. And that's the beautiful thing. It's a condiment too. Hamburgers, hot dogs, you put it in your beans, put it in your gumbo. Anything that you need to add a little oomph to, put a little Tony Tejas on it.
Awesome. All right. So I think we're hooked now, right?
I know, right?
That's okay. Right. So maybe Laura.
Salsa addicts out
yeah.
Everybody.
Okay. So I'm not a food person here. Both of
that's
you.
That's okay.
Here, food and restaurant.
Beverage. Food and beverage.
But you're
food and beverage. Yes.
Laura
you're so
is,
wonderfully
is,
purple.
Woohoo.
So I invited Laura because, well, we met and her energy level was through the roof. And I thought there has got to be a story here.
Mm-hmm.
And lo and behold, there is. Mm-hmm. So I'm going to let you tell it, though, because it's your story.
Well, I'm not sure what you want to know because there is a lot to the story.
Well, I know we've got there is a lot. I know there we've is. Got Lip Talk Nation.
Right.
OK, so and I know. I just go for it.
Just go for it?
Yeah. I mean,
all right, everyone.
There is so much that is Laura.
Yes. Okay. So recently on Lip Talk Nation, which Life in Purple is a new podcast that I just launched almost 8 weeks ago. And we're rising to the, into the new and noteworthy page on iTunes. That was the goal that we have for the 8 weeks. And the reason for this is actually for empowerment for people in general. It started out just for the vision of a women's confidence movement, but it seems to be that there's more than just women that need to work on their confidence. And so what happens is I took my story of negativity and this tragedy that happened when I was younger and I didn't admit it until I was about 20 years old. And, you know, I'm just going to go ahead and say because it's my story. I was a victim of child molestation, but it does not control me. You know, I've healed in a great way and I'm going to take the negative and turn it to positive. And I want to take that negative that people have in their past, you know, their darkness, and turn it to positive.
Yeah.
So the gist is beauty in brokenness, and what you say is what you become. So it's all about that self-talk.
That's it.
Right? So from I can't to I can. And I believe in people so much, Keith. You know, I believe in the ones that are sitting here, you know, that you just have to go for it and perseverance, right? Making
That's
the
it.
Salsa, you know, perseverance with your brewery, you know, having that vision and going for it. You know, if you let me have this, Keith, I'm just going to go explode.
Go. You have it.
Because I am so excited.
And I'm with you because there's so much of my life that it revolves around. I'm a strong believer in vibration.
Mm.
And so when you said the words, what you say is what
you become.
Yeah. That's what you become. It could not have echoed any louder in my experience. Everything from the culinary world of things to owning my own business to doing the things that I have done. But if you think it happens.
Oh, it does.
And so a lot of my life in the past couple of years has been really sort of being mindful of your thoughts and always looking for that positive and always trying to see the reasons for the way that things may or may not be.
Right.
What is reflecting in your life right now?
Absolutely. Keith, I thought I was called to suffer. I really did. You know, because this is something you don't talk about. You know,
sure.
It happens 1 out of 5 globally, you all. It happens with children, you know, being abused, you know, whether they're physically or sexually abused. And people aren't talking about it, which is shocking to me, but it's something that is taboo.
Right.
You don't want to talk about it because most of the time it's family members or people you know really close. And so I thought I was called to suffer. It was just a burden that I carried. It was a burden that one of my friends carried. And one day I realized, you know, through personal development and John Maxwell and Jim Rohn and Zig Ziglar and all the greats, you know, and realized that I was intelligent. I was like, oh my goodness.
There is so much more to Laura than that, isn't there?
There is. And then I realized I woke up one day and I was like, I was not called to suffer. I was diagnosed bipolar, you know, which is a horrible thing for people out there. And I'm not dissing it anyway because I know how to help people that are, you know, suffering with this. And that's how I coach people who have depression and anxiety. I know how to help you and I know how to help you fast. So I, was diagnosed that. And then I, of course, there was a nutrition that helped me along the way, you know, because that's another business that I do is, and it was just amazing how much nutrition, like you said, you know, kind
of eating the right stuff.
Oh, right.
Or just having all that other stuff in your body really does mess with you sometimes.
Right. You know, cause I was an accidental bulimic. I suffered TMJ, which got to the point where I couldn't eat my food. So I'm a singer. So it was either singing or eating. And then it got to the point because I chose to sing and not eat, I would almost black out and pass out while I'm driving. And that's a huge wake up call because I have two small kids and they're watching me.
Yeah.
And I realized they were watching me. You know, and it's a trained behavior. It's a muscle memory for the kids to not think that they're beautiful growing up.
Right.
Because then they look at the parents. And, you know, it's that whole muscle memory for how they handle the money and their whole being. So I'm on a mission just to help people retrain that because the kids are watching.
Yeah.
For sure.
It's almost, when I heard some of this story before, it was almost like you just woke up one day and decided to live.
I did.
And then all of a sudden it was like, Times 10.
Oh, you are so right. Because I was living in my PJs five days a week. And I was like, why would God give me all these talents and not be able to use them?
Sure.
You know, because growing up, you think, you know, in the environment, it wasn't necessarily women are called to do this. But it was my assumption that I was only supposed to be a stay-at-home mom. But I still struggle with that. You know, why would I have the ability to sing? Why would I have the ability to do a business? Why would I have that ability and then only be called to be a mom? And I'm not dissing being a mom because moms are fantastic and it's the hardest job, I think. But at the same time, I don't know.
You have a desire to create. No matter what it is, and this is what I've always loved is, it's okay to create more than one thing. You know what I mean?
It's okay to
switch jobs midstream or, you know, decide one day, hey, I want to make salsa or beer or own a radio station
You said it so well.
Yeah.
It's giving yourself permission to do that because people punish themselves and so they get stuck in something because they then think they have to because that is, you know, what we're trained to do is do a job for 40 years or 30 years, however long it is. And then that's all you do. And then you retire or maybe not retire, but that's just all you do.
Yeah. Wondering where your life went.
Why are we not thinking?
Yeah.
Why are we letting that be the standard?
Well, my definition of success is getting paid to do what you love.
That's it.
Mm-hmm.
You know, you made it. If you're getting paid to do what it is you love and it's not work.
No, absolutely.
You're successful.
Yeah. I love it.
So you've got partners in crime with you on this, don't you?
I do have a lot of partners in crime. Yes.
So who
the usual suspects.
I wish everybody could have just seen her face. For that one.
I'm like, I have so many jobs. I'm wondering which partners you're at.
I'm specifically getting into life in purple because when I started, I obviously do a little bit of research, obviously before guests come on and stuff. But when I got onto the site and saw all the motivational stuff that you're doing and the teaching that you're doing. Who are the other, is it three, there's three other ladies that are with you on this, right?
Well, there's a lot more than that because I have a power team of supporters who just pray and send good vibes out to the universe and ask God, you know, to help because this is bigger than myself. So I have a wonderful friend and producer in North Carolina right now. She's in the military, but she's, one of the biggest assets that I have, you know, as far as contacting the people to interview and researching and back, you know, all the background and social media. And then I've got another guy who is doing as much work as I am, blood, sweat, and tears. You know, his name is Drew Pemberton, and he is so on fire, believing in this mission as well. You know, because the story touched base, you know, hits home with him as well. Not necessarily, you know, just for himself, but he just knows people as well who has, you know, been
gone through a lot of this.
A lot of crap, you know, and this isn't just for people who have been a victim of, you know, child molestation, but of rape or even verbal abuse and physical abuse, you know, and those are actually my main people are Alex and Drew. And plus my husband, you know, he's kind of our project manager on the behind scenes as well. And then we've got some others that,
I've got a feeling you need a project manager.
Right?
You really do.
So I will admit that the it's the hardest thing for me to do is organize. Now I can, but it will take me all day and I will have it done well, but I need to do more than organize.
That's right.
So that is a weakness of mine. John Maxwell would say, if you can't do it, don't focus on your weakness. Focus on your strengths because when your strengths happen, they grow, then you can hire someone.
Contract your weaknesses out.
Or your weaknesses. Yeah.
Somebody else.
Yeah. So that's where I'm at right now. You know, we're still a baby, you know, growing, getting tons of feedback. A lot of people are sending me messages after messages.
Yeah.
That's my story. That's my story. Okay, let's talk about it. That's my story. So, I mean, this isn't my voice. I just get to be the voice.
Sure. Well, let's help you grow real quick. So if somebody wants to go and listen to your podcast or find you, where are we sending them?
They are going to go to liptalknation.com, and there you'll find many different resources, you know, such as the blog and the podcast will be there. If you're not an iTunes user, it's on Podbean as well. So there are avenues, there are ways to get the word out. So liptalknation.com.
You know, I think one of the cool things that really struck me as I'm reading through this stuff is that there's so much of this that is, it's almost an awakening that I think is happening with a lot of people in society. Just, and I know especially here with as much growth as the city has had, but a lot of people are really starting to decide that it is absolutely okay to do what I want to do, regardless of whether it's the norm or not.
Right.
And I think we are seeing some really neat things come from that. And when I say this, I think about the chefs that have retired and done food trucks.
Right.
You know, they're not doing this whole big Hollywood thing anymore. Right. They're literally in a truck just doing cooking food.
What they love.
Yeah. Exactly. I've been watching people like you, you know, you were staying at home, but you felt the need to go do it. And so you finally have gone to do it. Being an entrepreneur and stuff here with the radio stuff and the people I've been talking to, I see more and more and more of this creative side of people.
Absolutely.
Coming out and really just going to make it happen. So I saw your stuff and how you were teaching people to do that and be, cause I know that's, it's a cult. It freaks people out, it man. Does. It freaked me out when I wasn't cooking.
It freaked me
anymore.
Out. You know, I cried for 3 weeks. I knew I was supposed to. I just still fought it because I didn't want the pressure.
Right. You know, you can be comfortable for years and you go through the motions, and it's not until you take that leap of faith and say, I'm willing to suffer so I can soar to the heights that I know I can and reach my full potential.
Yeah. Exactly. I call it sifting through the contrast.
There you go.
That's not my term now, but I
use it. It's so true.
It is. Mm-hmm. It is. And, you know, there's just, so we had Powerful Women of the Gulf Coast in here a couple of weeks ago, and Colleen,
love Chesley, Colleen.
Was here, and they were doing the same thing. And again, not to just say that all this stuff has been geared towards women, because God knows everybody, male or female, both need it. But it was just part of the awakening of, like, there are so many cool things out there and tools and people that want to help you explore the you that you are.
Yes.
You know what I mean? And everybody's got great ideas, and sometimes you just need the right environment to foster.
I do believe in a good support system. That's one of the things that the guests say when I ask them, you know, what helps you survive and succeed, is they say a good support system, you know, and it's out there.
Yeah.
It's there.
Yeah. Well, like, we've got the Innovation Institute upstairs. Uh-huh. They do the same concept. Wow. So it may be on the technical side, but they're giving people that space to do it. So.
Right.
You know, congratulations.
Thank you. I'm excited.
You got a you got a long road to go.
This
but
is
it's
me on
be
a calm
fun.
Day. But yes.
Right.
I'm telling you, that's what got me. Laura was bouncing off the walls with excitement. And it wasn't that, oh my God, annoying, please take a pill and sit down, bouncing off the walls. It was like, yeah. Like,
I love being around.
I love
that. That was just bouncing back to me. So, talk to me about your music stuff real quick.
All right. So I am music. I study music, you know, and I have a degree in music. And what happened was I did it out of necessity, you know, at the beginning, just to teach, you know, to add income to the, and it just grew. And I ended up having over 40 students, you know, several, you know, more than that in a week time, you know, and it was a great thing. And in that time, I learned how to teach my students how to write music.
Yeah.
And that's what I do is, I'm very good at it. I take information and I simplify it. And some may call that a lazy way to do it, but I just simplify it. And I found a way to teach kids how to write music really fast so we can write a song in a day. So that's what I do. I have several.
And you have a facility to do it in too, don't
well,
you?
Well, I kind of do. You know, it's a makeshift, you know, but at the same time, it works.
It works.
Right. And I've got a lot of, like I said, support. And I do have one song on YouTube right now that it is called Beauty and Brokenness. And it's not necessarily that I'm, you know, pushing the sound and whatever, because that's definitely a raw song.
Right, sure.
It's more the message that's in the song that I hope to get out. So Beauty and Brokenness.
Well, and we need more music with meaning.
I'm telling you, man. Look, we just made a party. We've got beer, right. Salsa, and a band.
Right? That's right. Party in the studio.
That's for sure.
That's it. Well, we're going to put all, because you gave me those links. So we're going to share all those on our site as well, too. Mm-hmm. So I really enjoyed what you're doing, and I hope that we can help you in any way just to expand.
Yes, thank you. And same here. You know, do all I can to help you out.
I'll give you as many business cards as I've got.
I know, right?
All right. Well, it's been just about an hour. So I think at this point, I've got to thank all you guys for coming out today.
Yeah. No, thank you for inviting us.
And, absolutely. Thank you.
We've got some beer to drink and some salsa to eat.
I'm excited.
And then if you need help, I can help you.
Yeah. I will be your official taster.
That's it. There you go.
Quality control.
Right.
You guys can find us at Pecola Radio X on Twitter. You can find us on Facebook at Pensacola Business Radio. And you can find us at our website at pensacola.businessradiox.com. So I want to thank all you guys again for coming by and spending some time with me this afternoon. Sure. And this has been Pensacola Business Radio, where business is good and your work matters. Mm-hmm.